Lake Conda was one of the biggest resource packages we have in the area. It gave us our food, it gave us our shelter. It was a centrepiece of our Keritjmara community. It's part of who we are.
That was Gunditjmara Elder Eileen Alberts, the chair of the Gunditjmiring Traditional Owner Aboriginal Corporation. Dennis Rose is the Indigenous Protected Area Coordinator for Gunditjmiring.
Gunditjmara mob lived around the lake for many thousands of years and developed a sophisticated aquaculture system, not just to catch fish, but to grow fish. We were probably the earliest fish farmers in the world. One of our fish traps have been dated to 6,600 years old, which has been scientifically accepted.
How significant do you think Lake Conda and this area is to Australia?
I think it's incredibly important. We're currently pursuing a World Heritage nomination, and to have World Heritage nomination, you have to have what they call outstanding universal value. It has to have a world value, a world importance, and we believe that we have a good argument for this. Because of the age of the aquaculture systems, because of the continuing connection to country that we continue to this day, we still continue to use the lake, continue some of the traditional practices, at least in terms of spearing fish or using the fish traps to catch eels, using their traditional methods of making eel baskets to catch the fish as well.
And what do you think World Heritage status will do for the area?
Oh, look, I think there's sort of three parts to it. One, that it will increase protection along the lava flow in terms of the cultural and the natural values of the lava flow. It will also give recognition of the Gunditjmara history of the area, and certainly we expect that our tourism development will increase, which will be of not just a benefit to Aboriginal people, but a benefit to the region as a whole. We also want people to recognise that Aboriginal people did live here, and in a bit of a different manner than people expect, I suppose, that we weren't a nomadic group of people. We were fairly settled. We have evidence of stone houses that people built. We had, you know, small villages that people lived in. With the rich resources in Lake Conda, for example, people didn't need to travel to sustain their life.
Would the Gunditjmara people make canoes at all and go out on the lake?
People didn't make solid canoes, but used bark rafts, I suppose you'd call them, bark and sticks to get around the lake.
In the late 1800s, the lake was drained by European settlers for grazing land. In 2010, the lake was reflooded as part of a plan to revive the ecosystem around it. The local Indigenous rangers recently got funding for something a bit more advanced than a bark raft. We're now on a 6.5-metre aluminium purpose-built punt.
Hi, my name's Greg Shelton, Senior Budgerboom Ranger.
Greg, can you tell me a little bit about this boat that we're on right now?
It's a flat-bottom boat and it's designed to go on the lake in about 2 to 4 foot of water. It's a real shallow lake and that's what the boat is designed for.
How much does the level of the lake fluctuate throughout the year?
Well, we've got a weir on the lake, so we actually can keep more water in most of the year around now. Fluctuates between like 2 to 10 foot of water.
Hi, my name's Matt. I'm the Land Management Coordinator at Windamara. Out on the lake here, there's a large variety of water birds. In the last couple of years, they've really made the lake their home. We had a bird count last year, and there's about 10,000 birds on the lake. They're a bit more spread out this year because there's water everywhere. We've had a very wet season down here around Hayward, so they've spread out to all areas where there's water. But there's still a lot of birds here. As you can see, there's a couple of thousand coots over there. Looking through the stones here, you can see a large number of black swans. There'd be probably 300 or 400 over there. We've had brolgers out here last year. We counted 7 brolgers. We've also had sea eagles out here. There's a lot of raptors that come around here, of course, chasing the young birds and eggs and stuff like that. So, yeah, a really diverse amount of water birds are coming here now because the lake covers about 150 hectares and it's the largest body of water in this area for a fair way. With the flooding of the lake, we're getting a lot more species of plants that grow in the shallow water meadows here on the edges of the lake. The rangers have planted a lot of tree species like woolly tea tree, punya grass, sedges to return the habitat to its pre-European state.
And how about in terms of the life in the water?
In the water, there's a return of a lot of eels in here. We've got blackfish, tupong, Galaxias are in here as well. It's very important with our weir that we manage it properly so we get the water flowing over the fish ladder for as long as possible. And that's what we've done this year. So we're managing the level of the water to make sure that we maintain the water level in the lake for all those fish, birds that use the lake as their home now.
G'day, my name's Josh Ferguson and I'm a Budgerbin ranger.
How does it feel to drive a boat out here on Lake Conda?
Yeah, it's pretty good out here. It's nice and peaceful. When it's sunny, it's pretty nice.
Is it difficult to drive?
Yeah, it's pretty big, so it's, I don't know, it doesn't really steer that well, so the wind sort of takes it.
But it's good fun?
Yeah, great fun.
How about the importance and significance of having that boat now? How important is that?
Yeah, the boat's a major benefit to the ranger crew in terms of research and management purposes. The other good thing that we are able to use it for is to get our community out on the lake, particularly the elders who don't like to get bounced around too much in a four-wheel drive or have to walk over some fairly rocky terrain to look at country. And hopefully we'll tie it into our tourism aspirations as we move along.
The traditional owners have plans to not only build up the tourism around the lake, but also to develop the local eel farming industry.
We had an eel biologist assist us in determining the best habitat for maintaining and increasing the number of eels and the health of the wetland systems. We have plans to build an eel processing facility that will contribute, we hope, to economic development and also that important education role. We'd like to think that they might happen in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years.